the town requires too. So that, now to get up there, you need extra steps. But the steps do not go any closer to the property line than the piers that were supporting the balconies.
Oh, I know, but I think that's where.
And they're 0.67 feet from the property, and that's 0.67 feet from the property line.
Well, actually, what it's still, it's a little bit more because the property is skewed.
Okay.
So it's not quite 0.7, it's 0.7 on the left corners because of the property skewed, talking inches, but it's.
Okay.
To eliminate some of these steps, that entryway would have to be lower and in danger of being flooded in case we have another sand dune.
Would you, can you make the house smaller? When I say smaller, back is currently 48 feet, or is that smaller? What can be done to?
We make the house smaller, but this is what.
Yard, it's on the front rear yard setback.
It could be made smaller, but it's what the client requested in terms of getting a 2,000 square foot home, that, you know, three bedrooms.
I'm not talking about my basement, I'm looking for a 9-foot deck to become a 6-foot deck, and, you know, the 48-foot house to become a 6-foot house.
It's a baseball window set there.
In the front, you know, I'm not supposed to make suggestions. You know, to me.
You were just talking about possibilities.
Possibility, the smaller deck in the back, a foot or 2 foot off the house, you know, to get you back on the sidewalk, you know.
The house could definitely, it's full, yeah.
I have two questions. So what's the deck's dimensions?
Roughly 8, the width of the front, or slightly less than the width of the building. It's enough room to get out there and have a barbecue and sit outside. Because it's, the first floor is probably 12 feet in the air. Using a patio, it's not built.
What's on the third floor?
Bedroom or what?
Is that one of one has bedrooms?
No, the reason why we have more bedrooms, the bedrooms are small. Each unit is the same size in terms of total square footage. My client was going to live in the white side one, wanted a bigger bedroom for stuff. So that's why this has three bedrooms.
Okay, my, there's, what's the kennel?
It sticks out, it just, so you have this, the first floor goes like this and then comes out.
Cantilever would be.
The structure comes out.
Without the columns. Extends out, leads out to the building.
Yeah, the structure comes from inside the house, not a post going down.
And not.
It's okay.
You didn't talk about, Mr. Regan, you didn't go through like the floor plan, you know, because you do have, the first floor is certain dimension, and then you are cantilevering out to the rear.
On the second floor, again, you have more room for that.
Okay, can you just, why don't you just give those dimensions so everybody knows what you're talking about? And just tell us what you're referring to there.
Okay, well, the first floor, what?
Now, what is that document that you're looking at? Is this part of your plan? Is it page, what page? A2?
B2.
B2 of your, B2 of A3. So it's the second page. Yep, okay, I just, everybody needs to know, and the board does have it, so maybe if you can turn it a little bit, just in public, and maybe say some of that. Just a hair, there you go, perfect. I think board members have it, so you can just maybe describe to them what you're.
All right, the ground level is open garage from the back. So we can stack two cars with the parking, get all the required parking off the street and onto the site. Then the second level is in living level where we would have a living room in the front, dining in the middle, kitchen in the back, The kitchen would have access to it. That's roughly 8 foot out, the width of the unit. And the living room would have access to a bathroom that would go hang out over the driveways. So the second floor.
Third.
Well, second floor is technically, but the third level.
Yeah, so we usually do ground first and second, but you started with first being the garage.
Right, why don't we do that so that.
Following along.
It's not classified as a three-story house.
So let's call it ground first and second.
That level would be the bedrooms. You have a bedroom in the back, middle, and a bedroom in the front, master suite in the front. The other unit wouldn't have a bedroom in the middle, would have bigger bedrooms in the front and the back.
And that has decks on both front and back on that level also?
That level only has a balcony in the front. There's no deck in the back, no balcony in the back.
And the deck that's on the first level in the rear, how high up in the air is that?
Roughly from grade, probably 11 to 12 feet.
And that's what's about 2.9 off of the property line?
Yes.
And how big is that deck? What are those dimensions?
8 foot 4 by 18 feet.
18 being the width?
The width, yes.
And what's immediately behind it? Is that deck above, like looking into, just describe what the conditions are in the rear of that?
Well, right now, there's an existing deck back there now, so that's actually closer to the property line.
Talk about the house behind, what's right. Behind it.
Well, they have their decks in the back of their patios and stuff. And then the third floor, or the top level, would be considered the story would be a bedroom and a bathroom and a balcony. Also, a utility balcony in the back for the air conditioner, so that would not have great.
And that people can't go out on that balcony and.
They go out on it. It's hard to say because there's no room to sit out there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions from the board? From the witness? Let's move to the public. Is there any question about the witness's testimony? Yes, ma'am. Please state your name for the record.
Janet Sanders, 12 Center Street. What constitutes.
And Janet Sanders? Or yep.
Sanders.
Yes, got it. Yeah.
What constitutes a half story? I see that can you please explain to me what constitutes a half story?
I guess zoning wise, it's half of the square footage of the floor below.
So it's the same height as the other stories, it's just half the width of the length of the house.
Half the size. And okay. In this case,
what's the height?
It's not a height differentiation, it's just a width, length differentiation.
It's a height differentiation.
Well, it's also a height, but it's
everything.
It's not, it's built in a roof. It's like you finished off your attic where you have slope ceilings. And it's half, by zoning, it's half the story or half the square footage or below. In this case, we're a third of the square footage of the floor below.
Can you please tell me the height of this, of the half story?
The height of the half story?
Yeah.
This is what your ceiling height knows.
Well, in the middle, it will be 8 foot.
Okay.
Down the sides, it will be less. On the 5 feet, and have the or less, depending on the roof.
Okay.
But the height, the total height of the building needs is actually 3 feet less than we're allowed to do in this zone.
Anyone else? Other questions? Looks like
so,
there is.
I have one more question. Also. You have one back? That's okay. Okay, so.
Just state your name for the record again. Because it has to pick up.
So Next to you is?
Jerry.
Jerry. So Jerry, the existing house is actually shaped like this, not a square. Okay? And it looks like in this, but I want you to show you, it looks like it is actually not, because you've enlarged the house by building it out here.
Well, okay, can.
The tape can't hear your pen.
Mr. Tate.
The tape can't hear you.
Okay.
Just so you know, you need to explain what you're saying.
The house there showing the first and second level, it's shown almost as a square. Okay, same height.
The proposed house.
The existing house is not built.
It's not square.
The house is not built. The second level is much shorter, first level.
Shorter in height or?
Shorter in length. So they added a whole chunk really on the same, so I just want to let you illustrate the rest of it.
I'm not quite sure.
Okay, so the existing house, right? Let me see that one.
Go to the existing house because I think it's shown.
The house.
Is that shown?
And you face the side. You can want for that as well. The second floor,
Jerry, why don't you do this? What's the square footage of the existing house?
I'm not quite sure.
And Mr. Grant is saying approximately 1,800 square feet?
Yes, I believe that.
Okay.
The existing house is rectangular. Back part of the house is one story. And we're proposing a rectangular shaped house. Not as wide as the existing house, but more than people. And actually not as,
yeah,
as the existing
two,
house.
And two
of them. The foot off the property, the existing house. I think what was being referred to before is the existing house has, a substantially larger footprint,
yeah,
than what's being proposed for either house. But what was pointed out, the existing house, which has a bigger footprint at the rent level, the second floor is not as, doesn't have the same footprint at the bottom.
It's a smaller footprint.
Right. Whereas this house has a smaller ground floor footprint, but goes for.
And there's two of them.
And there's two of them.
Anyone else?
No, Mr. Sanders.
Jack Sanders, one permission. Ask about that.
Just say what you're referring to, so that we can
check. What
is it?
B2.
Page
2.
B2.
A3.
Yes.
Of the architectural.
One of the variants is the maximum coverage.
What was that, Joe?
The max global coverage is 50%.
Yes.
And your design is 68%.
Yes.
Okay. So as it exists right now, there's only one house on the property and the rest of the area is completely
empty. Yes.
Okay. So we talked about the actual footprint of the building. We're talking about putting a building that has a smaller footprint than it's there. There's going to be two of them. And they're going to almost fill the lots. Okay.
Consistent with all the other lots on that side of the street with that same width.
Okay. So you're aware that there's flooding in this area.
Yeah.
And that routinely every time it floods,
mm-hmm,
to a degree, the lot that's currently empty fills up a little.
I would imagine. Yes.
Okay. And so you're going to put.
The portion of the lot. Actually.
The portion, right. The portion of the lot that's empty goes up into the water. And instead of it being empty, it'll not be a proposal.
Yes.
And a building which will take up more coverage than it
could.
Now, have you done any study to determine what the environmental impact is going to be or how that will affect the flood?
It shouldn't affect the flooding at all because the design of that ground level is to allow water into the building. So there would be no displacement of water. So you can have no displacement of water by having two buildings here that have almost complete lot coverage instead of having a completely empty side yard next to the
first one.
That's what you're about.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you do any flood study?
I designed this according to the FEMA requirements.
Right.
FEMA requirements are designed to allow the water to come into the building, not only to alleviate displacement of water, but to take the pressure off the walls to keep the building intact.
How did you consider the expected heights of flood in this area on the spot when you were making this stuff?
I do the FEMA test. And then I also go back to what the town requires too.
All right, so what studies do you see what the expected heights, velocity, or duration of water is in this area?
I don't know if there is a study. Now, I know there's a height, that's why we have to meet base flood elevation, plus whatever the town increases it to.
There's no environmental effect in the property.
No, it's not the flood.
And so, and you've never seen a study that within the expected heights of flooding would be in this area?
Yes, I have. It's a FEMA map that tells us what the height is based upon 100 years ago. And the town did it.
No, I haven't seen it. Rates rise, water through flood.
I don't know if it's been done.
Excuse me.
Are you on this?
Excuse us, sir, ma'am.
Were there any other questions from the public? Oh, okay.
John Higgins, 27 Center Street. I have two concerns about the size of the deck and the bathroom.
Mr. Higgins, because you're giving a statement, you solemnly swear testimony when you're about to give the truth, full truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go right ahead.
I have two concerns about the width of the deck, the height of the building. That's my two concerns about this project.
Okay. Thank you. I can't hear. Can you hear? Yep,
we got
so, people. Yeah, so if anybody's in the back, you have to come forward because they're having trouble. But yeah, just to reiterate, Mr. Higgins, you expressed two concerns: the size of the deck, the width front to back, and the height of the building. Correct?
And here he is.
There.
Yes, here I am. John Higgins, 27 Center Street. I live in the back.
Loud and clear.
Thank you. Yep, thank you.
Sounds like a home. My two concerns are the width of the, not the width, the depth of the bank,
right,
and the coordination, 8 foot. I would like to see that shorter. And the height of the building. That's, to me, it's three stories. Mm-hmm. That's my concern in being a neighbor. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hilder, do you want to just address the story or not?
I'll make some general comments.
Okay.
And of course, the board can do what they feel is correct on the
sure
application. They would have to get all their outside approvals. I do think that any roof leaders could run under the sidewalk if possible, not across the sidewalk, because that would cause icing in the winter. In terms of the variances, I don't have a huge problem with the 112 or so square foot area of the lot being less than the required amount. That's not a huge number. I am not a fan of the setbacks for front and rear. I think they are too close, and I can't give you really what should be done about it. An 8 foot deck is a nice size deck in front of a house or a rear of a house. I've owned it for my life. It's nice to have, but you don't need an 8 foot deck. Be smaller. And I think that the applicant is kind of pushing the limits in terms of that front yard setback, rear yard setback, and therefore a lot coverage. Being at what is it, 69, which is the
68
versus the 50% requirement. So that's comments.
Existing lot coverage 42%.
42.8%. And they're going to 60.
The architect's doing the right thing with the plan. Floodplain and right. Elevation being above 7, it's about 3 feet above that.
Right. And limit. Just to confirm that this is, that does qualify as a half story.
Yes.
Under the ordinance. So, yeah. Okay. Under the definition
of height. And there's height variance, so that's not an issue.
Right. And I know Mr. Duffy also expressed the similar concerns about the size of the decks in both the front and the rear, which gave rise to those setbacks as well as the lot coverage.
May I make
something
else?
Yes, we're still in the public portion. So.
Okay. Courtney Davis, 24th Street.
Courtney, I know you're going to make a statement, so do you solemnly swear to testimony you're about to give us the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. I am opposed to this. I am the property adjacent on the east side to 26. I actually think the designs look great. I have no complaints. I think, you know, a design like that is something the neighborhood could use. However, just about everything else I have a problem with. Sometimes a lot of things are better than that. It's been like this for at least 30 years that I'm aware of. It's the way the neighborhood has come to exist. So I think by subdividing them, I'm already completely overgrown is a bad idea. Mr. DeSego himself, when Mr. Taggart was coming up, I had his home listed, lamented the fact that our houses are built on top of each other. Why did Seabright do that? I would like to use those words to say, why would we do that? When we have an opportunity to be better, we should. The park, I know that we have a parking requirement of 2 spots, and that's really a great idea, except that nobody uses it. Now, I won't say nobody because I know that the mayor uses hers and that Councilman Hill uses his. But that's there on the street. There's about 5 people who use their garage parking. So now, a house that exists currently that has 3 parking spots in the driveway, 4 if you're creative, is going to have 4 parking permits between it and actual use them, where they've never actually had to use them. It's a significant impact on our street, which is already extremely crowded. And I'm not joking when I tell you there have been fights on the street about parking. I was not involved, but it's a one-way street, so it, you know, it's just caused more traffic to come down the street. I want to make sure I got everything in.
All your points.
My major concern is that not only we're trying to subdivide the property, but we're trying to build 2 very non-conforming units where 1 exists. And you know, we're talking about, Mr. Duffy brought up the setback in the front. It will most definitely impact my view, which impacts my investment. And if we're talking about if we're all here for investments, that's mine. And, you know, I actually live here full time and have since we bought the property. I'm not going to get all through here. Everybody goes by the season plans, and everybody says, oh, this is what happens, that's what happens. And they tell us, watch the water come, where it comes from. It comes from different areas sometimes. It's the most amazing. Our bulkheads are failing. It's a fact. I have video of it. It's a fact. I would love for them to work. I would love for that to be something else. It's just me. So to say that this isn't going to impact because FEMA says it's okay is not true. All of that. It's a bathtub effect. Now, if you put more stuff in the bathtub, the water comes up. Even though it's supposed to flow through, we all know that that's not exactly how it happens. If you're here, you know that. So to go just by what's on the paper would be really ignorant. So I'm just asking that we continue to do what's better for Seabright, not by what, you know, the neighborhood looks like, and we're, you know, we'll just go with that. Do what's best for Seabright moving forward, because this is where we need to take a stand and do what's best for the people who are here.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else in the public? Follow-up question.
I was asking before about the impact on flooding of the oversized building that you're building. I didn't ask about the whole ground. This is going to be a big problem. It's going to remove a lot of partial ground from there. Right?
Well, there is no requirement.
Well, he's talking lot coverage. Presently at 42, 42.8% lot coverage, which in aggregate is 68%, which is imperfect.
Which is really much more than that, because there's two lots.
Well.
168.
Yeah, but that's a requirement of 7.
And so,
now also, you're also including that. An open deck.
I said lot coverage, I meant building coverage. My bad.
An open deck, which technically is not. That would be good on water, but it's not quite adding
right now.
That's higher.
You know what they were. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so instead of this being permeable dirt right now,
that
we cover with floor of the pavement.
Yeah.
Can I just say one more thing? Sorry, I just want to point out on this diagram right here, this is showing a tree.
It's just what you're referring to.
Is that your house?
No, my house is over here.
I'm teasing.
A12.
Very, very far away.
A12. Everybody will take judicial notice that this is an architectural
rendering. You cannot see the house back here. This would be Brian Hood's house. The setback from the side was supposed to be 3 feet, and Brian's house is pretty close to the property.
There won't be a rotten tree.
There will not be a shot.
Understood. We have a decision to make here how much further we're going to go ahead tonight. We have two applications. I decided earlier we would split the meeting in half, our meeting time.
He has no other witnesses, right?
No. Okay.
Mr. Kennedy, maybe let me throw something at me. I think we've heard some concerns. And I don't know if you want to.
Yes, I appreciate the members of the public, Mr. Chairman. I always appreciate the fact that you've allowed us to be on the agenda. I want to be appreciative of the other application and people who are here in conjunction with that, and of course, you're all scheduled. I have heard a number of concerns, and I would like the opportunity to come back to all my people and see if we can re-examine some of those setbacks. And some other issues I can't make any representations. I can the fact that we're going to look at everything, and I appreciate it. And what I would like to do is to come back at a date specified with no new notice, if that's acceptable.
Absolutely. Do we know the date? I think it would have to be on January 22nd, if one so far.
Okay. January availability on the 22nd of January.
Is there anything on rework? Do you have to be already on that meeting?
On the 8th?
Yeah.
And 2.
Oh, yeah.
And our reorg.
That would be January 22nd?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. 29th.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Same bad time? Same bad time.
Mr. Chairman, we will come back and consent to extend the time frame of the Emerson Board Heads Act. Wish you all happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
January
22nd. I'll make a motion to carry it out further than this to January 22nd.
Thank you.
This application will be carried to January 22nd meeting with no further notice.
All were in favor.
Thank you all for coming.
Of that motion in the second, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Any opposed?
If you can leave, I'm going to leave it to you. If you need them to look at your plan, you can. I'll leave you in charge of them, but then you can leave. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we have an interesting meeting tonight because a good portion of our board cannot sit on the next application. I am within 200 feet. The councilman is the councilman, the mayor is the mayor. And Mr. DeSeo has a contract. So I'm going to ask Mr. Duffy to be the chairman for the meeting. Thank you all for coming tonight. And enjoy the next application.
Can we take a 5 minutes while we do our...
Yeah, let's adjourn for 5 minutes for a break. Sorry, Mr. Hirsch, only 5. I'm coming.
Thursday. Merry Christmas. Which I grab a drink.
Yeah. It's your brother.
Yeah.
So we're all in.
If you want to give a where we are, what we've done is fine. Otherwise, you can just jump right on in.
Thank you, Ms. Higgins. And for the record, Tom Shaker, representing the applicant, Rondo. We've had communicated the history of one, I guess, full hearing, very brief hearing, was considered in March. I would first like to thank the board for the courtesy to extend me from the last meeting to apologize to the public. Convenient, I may have closed down, not being able to make the last schedule. I had the opportunity to review the transcript of the original hearing, and so we're familiar with some of the issues, at least that the neighbors have raised to the board, and we hope to address those tonight, at least to the board, hopefully, to the neighbors. I have three witnesses here tonight. Brian Grant is a site engineer. Also have Ian, who's the architect, and Jeff Higgins, who is the project planner. Mr. Lovian, of course, is still here. He is the only witness to testify so far in the case on behalf. So the way I'd like to proceed is to start with our engineer, probably then proceed with our architect, and patrolmen within the other. Our friend is Major Principal Lopiondo, will do that, and we all have witnessed the plan and streaming. So that's the plan. I'm not sure if we'll get tonight. I don't know when the board gets the break, but if not, we'll continue whenever the board sees fit on its calendar. So I'd like to call witness Brian Grant.
Okay. Mr. Grant, you solemnly swear that you're about to give us the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And can you state your full name for the record?
Brian Grant.
Thank you. Mr. Grant, could you board the benefit of your educational professional background?
I have a Bachelor of Science in Engineering, Civil Engineering from NYU Polytechnic. I've been a licensed engineer since 2013, and I've represented applicants before was throughout the state since 2008.
We offer Mr. Grant an expert in the field of engineering.
Any objections by the board? No, okay.
Thank you. Mr. Grant, you prepared the most current site plan. I think that's March 11.
Correct.
That is now before the board.
Yes. Yes.
And can we go take the board and public through the site and then all of you the site engineering site for how it's set up.
So the existing site is roughly 62 by 83 feet. 62 along Osmond Street and 83 going back. It's an existing site as hard packed with a combination of grass and sand and gravel. What we're proposing is to install roughly a 3,800 square foot three unit townhouse, which will be surrounded on a side perspective by fencing on all three sides, adjacent to existing property with a 6 foot wood stockade fence. The site itself, the ground cover, at least the stone portion, and it will cover the entire site with a pervious cover to allow water to go through. So that's the fence, the ground cover. There was some concern with lighting. So we designed the lighting to minimize all site spillage. On the lighting plan, sheet 4-7, we've located the lights roughly 5 feet above green, such that the 6 foot fence will block any all site spillage on each side of the property. In front of the property, obviously, we have adequate lighting level on Osborne Street for residents. And the rear of the property.
You seem to be referring to an exhibit. I'm going to assume you're looking at A11. What page specifically on?
Sheet 4.
Sheet 4. Okay, and you talked about a fence. Why don't you just tell us what sides of the property is fence going around? Because you're pointing to it, but not everybody can see it.
So the fences will be on all three sides of the property, to the west, to the east, to the north.
Okay.
There will be no fence on all spots on the street.
And there, it's all 6 foot?
Yes, that's what we propose. And we have a tailored fence on sheet 7. Let's see what we'll stop. The site itself, the buildings are centered on the site, such that on each side of the property, on the east side and the west side of the 5.5 foot setback. To the rear of the property, the rear being the north, we have 17 feet between the property line and the building itself, and 3.3 feet between the property line and the stairs leading from that on the deck. Right, but the building itself is 17.3 feet on the property. on the front of the property along Osborne Street, between the, from the top of the line to the front of the building, it's 15.3 feet. To the balcony that goes on the architectural plan, it's 9.3 feet. We propose to improve.
You're just going a little faster. So in the rear, 15 feet setback is required. Did you say 17 to the building?
17 to the building.
And but 3.3 to the stairs.
3.3 feet to the stairs and 7 feet to the actual deck.
And 7 feet to the deck.
Yes.
Okay, and the stairs are going to the deck? And they're not internal stairs. Not until he's done. Okay, and then so that was your rear yard setback. And you have a front yard setback also.
Yeah. So the front yard to follow the same sequence, we have 15.3 feet to the building on the front, and 9.3 feet to the balcony.
And is the balcony on that? Just a second. How far up is the balcony?
I will let the balcony at the second level. The first level of the whole building, I'll let the architect speak more to that. It's strictly a garage. Okay. The entire
building. And how far back is that set? The building itself.
15.3 feet. 15.3
feet. That's
the actual
building. Okay. And then building coverage, I know you have, right?
Yes. So the building is 38,000 square feet. We're requesting a variance for lot coverage. Max lot coverage is 70% with the deck. Even though the deck has openings that water gets through the deck, it's still considered part of lot coverage. So that raises the lot coverage to 72.71. So we exceed maximum lot coverage by 2.71%.
And building coverage?
Building coverage, we have 66.98% proposed. 50% is the permitted requirement.
Okay. And you are referring to this property is located in the R3 zone, is that correct?
Yes.
And I know that the planner is going to testify later, but the setbacks that you were just describing are R3 setback requirements as this were like a single family development.
Correct.
Right. And for the multifamily, just the conditional use for this zone, provided minimum lot sizes are met, that condition is not met, correct? Minimum lot size,
right.
for that. So maximum.
We're trying to address that.
Okay.
We're not exactly.
Go ahead.
Sure. In terms of the ordinance, clearly, this lot is almost three times the size of the minimum lot size for the zone.
For the R3.
We understand that there is a provision concerning standards, which are design standards, in the case for multifamily being, there's a design standard of an acre for a lot. So you understand those two issues. We'll talk about more later on.
All right, then just on lot frontage for a multifamily requires 150-foot lot frontage, and you have 63, is that correct? Okay, or lot width, but it's a frontage is how they're talking about it. Lot depth in the multifamily B would be 125, and the proposed is
82.63. That's an existing condition.
Okay, and the front yard setback in for multifamily B would be 35 feet, and it's the 9.33 feet that you were discussing to the balcony. And side yard 25 is required in the multifamily B. You're proposing 5.5, which meets the R3 requirements, but not the multifamily. The rear setback would be a 25-foot setback for multifamily B requirement. And again, you have 3.33. And on rear setback, just R3 is the 15-foot. And again, the lot coverage is still 70%, you've got 72.1.
Just wanted to leave on the statement that the 3.3 to the stairway to the deck, it's actually 17.35 to the actual building.
Okay. Thank you.
So we reviewed the Board of Engineers letters. We've made some improvements to the plan in response to the Board of Engineers letter. As I said, the ground cover is ripped stone. The ground cover is it's intended. It has a dual purpose. One is to obviously stabilize and minimize off-site soil erosion, and secondly, to allow water to get in and percolate. Now, what we've done based on the Board Engineer's letter, we've created an essentially on-the-ground retention system that temporarily supports the roof runoff on the building, and it's a perforated HDPE pipe, so a lot of that water percolates to the ground.
And what piece are you referring to?
I'm sorry, to sheet 307.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting on utility plan. All right, so we have proposed on each side of the building to collect all the roof runoff, create an on-ground retention system to temporarily retain the water, promote percolation into the surrounding soil, and any excess would slowly drain through the curb onto Osborne Street. And that was a response to the Board of Engineers letter. That would accommodate the increased runoff in the proposed building. The remainder of the site is graded such that the majority of the site drains towards Osborne Street. The existing site, at the high point in roughly the center of the site, we've actually taken more of the site, raised the grading, pushed the grading back, and increased that grading and moved it towards Osborne Street. So we have more runoff, if you will, going towards Osborne Street and less towards adjacent properties. I said before, the lighting plan and the lighting indication elevations were designed to minimize off-site spillage. On our lighting plan, show light levels on sheet 4-7, whereby we located the side lighting to minimize off-site spillage. So we show essentially 0 foot candles outside of the fences that surrounds the property.
0 foot candles on the other side of the fence.
Yes. There was a comment on sidewalk. We amended the plan to show proposed sidewalk and lighter aprons along the entire property frontage. We provided grading for the engineer's review. And we'll comply also with the engineer to make sure that we meet its borrower's requirements as well as the Board Engineer's concerns. That we address the Board of Engineers' concerns. As far as landscaping is concerned, again, it's a big environment. We provided a different suggestion on the Board of Engineers and not a professional. But we've just simply shown several boxes, six on each side, 3 foot high plantings, just to dress up the front of the building. We kept the remaining site unencumbered for landscaping, simply to allow adequate pedestrian passage around the side of the building. We only have 5.5 feet. We didn't want to clutter that if you arborvitae or anything could potentially grow and put that down to 8 inches. So we've just focused on the more visible portions of the site on Osborne Street. There was some concern about off-site soil erosion during construction. The site itself is over 5,000 square feet. We are required to comply with Monmouth County soil erosion and people's soil conservation district guidelines. It requires two permits. One is the entire site in the the sill fence, and Chris has a significant sill fence around the entire site. And that minimizes any off-site soil runoff when you have a rain event, you know, due to construction. And you also show a tracking pad as required by freehold soils. The purpose of the tracking pad is to minimize any soil that comes off-site from the wheels of the trucks or whatever comes up. So as part of the application, if the board was like to approve it, we would be required to obtain freehold soil conservation commission approval to address the soil conservation, soil erosion guidelines.
You talked about landscaping. Say that you provided street trees. I think the requirement is you would need at least two street trees. It's not easy to say two street trees.
Right now, we site doesn't. The property line essentially comes up with the curb line. There's no room for street trees. Street trees typically require 2.5 to 3 feet. Up front, it's outside the pedestrian area, so we would kindly ask to request a waiver on that.
Should you go through Mr. Hoder's letter then, maybe, and address all those issues for safety, please?
Yeah, if I could, am I correct to say, Kent, that a lot of what you described tonight were comments in response to my letter? Is that correct?
Yes.
And those are the plans that were submitted, what, last week? Not 10 right. days before the meeting.
Right.
So they're actually really, I think, responses to my letter, but it's nothing the board has seen before.
And you haven't reviewed it.
Yeah, and I haven't really reviewed it. So far, what we're talking about is it's good. These plans that Mr. Grant did are head over heels much better than the previous set of plans that were submitted 6 months ago or whatever it was. And I'm a lot happier with these plans than I were. The previous ones, because they didn't have much information at all. In terms of anything else in my letter, I do talk about the variances which have been gone through with their planner. I talked about the landscaping, the foot zone, and in reality, he covered pretty much everything in my letter. If this application is approved, I don't think there's any problem with conforming with anything else in my requirements in the letter. The lighting is something I was concerned about, and they seem to have taken care of that. I have to really look at it to understand it. So I have to have research. Anything I say, I have to reserve a little bit.
Right.
Because of my review that I have to still do.
So landscaping and lighting would really be to the board engineer's approval.
Right, right. And I understand what you say about street trees. While on every application, I try to get them to plant some street tree here and there. This one, because of the configuration of the driveways, it's nothing to do.
So you would have no objection to a waiver of the street tree requirement?
Correct.
And again, we're the board to, you know, look at it, then the landscaping and lighting, since Mr. Hoder really, you know, hasn't really. Would have to meet, you know, his review and his approval.
It's not for this board. You might should have any some kind of street tree beautification fund.
Yes, they should.
With an ordinance that the mayor and council could do, that somebody like this application could put a couple bucks into that fund, those trees could be planted around town.
Seed tree.
There you go.
And Dave, I would also, I had, I'm going to see as I say.
God
bless. He talked about this underground storm or detention system. I mean, I would think you need to really take a look at that.
Yes. I do like the fact that this is the original sand environment here. I like the idea of return. Makes a big difference. It's, you know, there are places in this county where you can't recharge anything with clay. Here, we're very lucky to have this sand underneath us. We're lucky and not lucky. It allows for recharge, which is a very common thing nowadays in terms of development. Developers are required to do it if it's a large development. This is not considered a large development by any standard or by our budgets. So it's voluntary, but I think it's perfect mix, seabury and some return.
Okay.
And have a look at it.
Very good. Board members have questions?
Anybody in the public have any questions?
Yes, you just have to state your name.
Okay.
Again, because the new applications.
Gotcha. Jack Sanders, Bullfetter Street.
And are you just going to ask questions or you're going to vary off and why don't I just swear you? Oh, you were previously sworn, correct?
No, I haven't been sworn in.
Okay. Okay, that's fine.
Maybe. I guess I might test that later.
That's fine.
Thank you. All right. I guess first of all, you see the secret for half the times.
No, I have not.
Are you aware of this Compton Park rezoning district?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you can read the master plan, which says that this area is not intended for multifamily uses. Such uses should not be permitted. You've never seen that.
This may be developed. This government is beyond the directive.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I would allow the question of the planner. I think he's just engineering it, and I don't think he would be qualified to talk about the zoning issues.
That's fair. I'm going to connect this to the lot area, the other variances which are requested.
Yeah, if you're asking him to opine about, like, zoning, whether or not this would be permitted and all that, wait for the planner. But if you're going to ask about the engineering parts, go ahead.
I'll just see where I am.
Yeah. I'll let you go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. I guess my question is, are you aware of that the master plan from 2017 for Seabury says that?
No.
Okay. So you talked about some of the multi-family B requirements here. You heard or gave some information or talked to you about what's required for single family zoning in R3 versus multi-family under section 139A.
Yeah, I think that was probably the statements that were made by the board attorney, confirming that their language on the plan.
Right, and the plans don't meet maximum density, max building height, lot frontage, lot depth, front setback, side setback, or rear setback, or the max coverage for the family section of the ordinance.
I think you're okay with the height, sir. I think everything else you're right on, but the height is not a...
Let me rephrase the question.
No, you don't have to. Just we're going to note for the record that the height, it complies.
The height complies, but the your max density doesn't apply. From the engineering perspective, it doesn't meet the density requirements for.
Well, the density he probably can't speak to, but I think we can take notice. And if Mr. Grant wants to, I mean, obviously we know that under the multifamily B requirements, they're requesting variances for frontage depth, front yard setback, side yard setback, rear yard setback, and maximum lot coverage.
Do you agree? It doesn't meet any of them.
I would just take design waivers.
Correct.
Okay. Well, they're seeking waivers. They're also seeking a number of variances. I guess my question is, if you agree, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't need to be lot frontage, lot depth, lot setback, side setback, rear setback, or max lot coverage.
Right. That's what we've indicated.
Right. It doesn't need any of those requirements for multi-family.
That's what we've indicated.
No one, you're not arguing as an engineer, or you're not presenting
evidence here
that single family